Physicist Stephen Hawking spent a lifetime teaching us about the universe we live in. He also taught us about the terrible disease he suffered with for most of that life. ALS paralyzed the scientist, robbed him of the use of his muscles, but left his mind untouched. When Hawking died last week at the age of 76, people were left wondering how he lived for decades after being diagnosed. Steve Perrin is president and chief scientific officer at the ALS Therapy Development Institute. He joins us now in the studio. Steve, welcome.
Thank you, Peter.
So Stephen Hawking was diagnosed with ALS in 1963. He was 21 years old, and people thought he wasn't going to live but just a couple of years. How rare is his longevity?
It's very rare. I mean, he's certainly an extreme outlier. I mean, 10% of ALS patients can live 10 years or longer, but somebody like Stephen Hawking is certainly an outlier.
And it's far more common to have it develop late in life.
That is more common. It's not uncommon to see people in their 20s diagnosed today. Diagnosis has gotten better and better over the years, so it's not unusual to see people diagnosed in their 20s and 30s anymore.
And what's the life expectancy typically?
It's highly variable. We love to throw out language that it's 3 to 5 years, but it really depends upon a lot of factors, many of which we don't understand, but quality of care, it plays a big role.
Why does it appear in some people earlier?
We don't know. Huh. Much like we don't know why Stephen Hawking was such an outlier. I mean, he was a theoretical physicist, and we're now into theoretical neurobiology here. Mm. Again, quality of care makes a big difference.
That. Yeah. You know, even Stephen Hawking said that it was the quality of his care that he credited for helping him live so long.
Absolutely. The earlier a person that has been diagnosed with ALS accepts the disease, which is quite challenging, and decides to intervene, the better their quality of life is going to be and the longer they're going to live.
Talk about that. I mean, what kind of care are we talking about?
Well, somebody like Stephen Hawking had access to 24/7 care for most of his life, mm-hmm. which a lot of ALS patients do not. And, you know, that really helps with getting in front of things like opportunistic infections in particular. So good quality health care, early feeding tube to prevent the weight loss that patients experience. But it's that 24-hour care from a caregiver, professional nursing staff that really helps people like Dr. Hawking or Augie Nieto live longer with their disease.
And who's he?
Augie's the chairman of ALS TDI. He was the pioneer of the fitness industry and, ironically enough, was diagnosed with ALS about 10 years ago as well.
And he's outlived the expectations.
Absolutely. A couple of standard deviations longer.
You know, this disease is so terrible. I think most Americans know it because of Lou Gehrig, you know, the famous baseball player who was diagnosed and had to leave his career at its height. Just hearing you talk about the care that is needed when you're diagnosed with this, it's a bad disease, you know?
It's a terrible disease, and it's a spectrum of diseases that we call ALS, but motor neuron disease affects and presents in people in very different ways, and that's why it's a spectrum of diseases. For instance, in the genetic form of the disease, with the same mutations, you could have one sibling show complete motor function loss and no cognitive deficits. The exact same mutation in a sibling or a cousin could cause serious cognitive dysfunction and less motor function problems. So ALS is definitely a spectrum of motor neuron diseases that we just call ALS because we really don't understand much of the underlying biology.
Because Stephen Hawking was such an outlier in the disease, did he teach us something about it?
He taught us to not let a disease like ALS conquer you. He had an incredibly productive life post-diagnosis. And there are ways, and as technologies are being developed, like we have a precision medicine program that's helping to dive through patient heterogeneity, but as communication devices get more sophisticated and as we develop tools like exoskeletons to help with movement, ALS does not affect most people's cognitive function. You can live an incredibly productive life, as did Dr. Hawking.
I just want to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying. When you say patient heterogeneity, you mean every patient is very different, just like Dr. Hawking was.
Absolutely. If there was 100 newly diagnosed patients in the room here today, we don't understand or could not predict which ones are going to lose their battle with the disease 9 months post-symptoms and which ones might be an outlier like Stephen Hawking.
Hmm. Well, here is Stephen Hawking, speaking of inspiration, getting involved in the now famous Ice Bucket Challenge for ALS back in 2014.
Because I had pneumonia last year, it would not be wise for me to have a blanket of cold water poured over me. But my children, Robert, Lucy, and Tim, gallantly volunteered to take the challenge for me. I urge everyone to donate to the MNDA to eliminate this terrible disease.
So a cure did not come in time for Stephen Hawking, but people like you are working on a cure. Where are we?
So we're excited. We're finally starting to really understand what might be the intervention points to first slow down the disease. Cure is a challenging word, but if we could slow down the disease enough in a newly diagnosed person to watch their kids go to college, watch their grandkids get born, that's going to be an amazing game changer. And we're finally getting there with things like gene therapies, antisense technologies, changing the way the immune system attacks one's nerves in the body. Those are all exciting opportunities that are starting to move into the clinic for patients with ALS.
Stephen Perrin, President and Chief Scientific Officer for the ALS Therapy Development Institute. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Really appreciate it, Peter.